But the intent would be to follow the same rule on these temporary appointments as the governor's appointment.
Okay. Let me, because some members of the committee have a caucus, I'm going to excuse those members, but I'm going to ask the balance of the committee to remain here for your testimony and that of others, I think particularly the Employment Division. And we will be able to remain here until 11. But if there are members who have to be excused for caucus, we understand that. Copies of your testimony and the material you've provided have been distributed, and I apologize because of the time crunch, but like I say, some things just kind of are beyond our control. Go ahead.
The amendment to the bill would provide for the chairperson to appoint any pro tem members with the approval of the governor, and the appointment will be limited to a period of 90 days.
Okay.
In the last section of the bill,
As printed.
Initially expanded the budgetary language contained in the current statute. And during our deliberations with the governor's office and the Employment Division, it was determined that the language currently in the statute was sufficient if the Employment Appeals Board would take more part in the budget-making process. So we would ask to amend that to delete the boldface and reinstitute the language now in the statute. And the very last item of the bill confers upon the board the authority to adopt its own procedural rules, and we do have an amendment to have that comply with the rulemaking authority and some exceptions contained in 657-280.
Okay. And I see that if I'm correct, the last new section, section 10, was not reflected apparently in the new relating clause. In response to the question I'm going to receive from Representative Otto, we've got an emergency clause. Is that correct?
Yes. The reason for the emergency clause relates directly to those amendments sought by the Employment Division and to which we concur that it is necessary. They could testify to that better
okay.
than I.
Okay, yes, just sir. For purposes, for counsel's information, I think, and I'm sure legislative counsel would do this, because if we were to go ahead with an engrossed version, which I'm sure we'll have to be sure to add the emergency clause and the relating clause as well.
Another reason, Mr. Chairman, for the emergency clause is the part of the bill that provides for pro tem members, because if one of our members were to get sick right now, we'd be and have real problems of how we could operate. And we've been lucky the last 4 years, and there hasn't been anybody have to be away, but that may not last forever.
Okay, does that conclude your presentation?
Yes, we'd like to have Ms. Leonard carry her part of the bill, if she would.
Okay, let me just inquire, are there any questions of members of the committee at this point? Okay, if not, Employment Division folks, we did have one person also signed up, Terry Rogers. I don't know if she's still available to testify or not. But okay, I don't know if she had any written comments. It appears that it will be necessary to carry this over to another work session, so I want to advise people that if they do have some comments one way or the other, we'd be glad to provide an opportunity for that. We won't be recessing until this evening, but we will be carrying this over. Ms. Leonard,
Mr. Chairman, Libby Leonard, Deputy Administrator of the Employment Division. Mr. Morgan was correct in saying that these amendments were worked out jointly between the board and the Employment Division, and with conferences with the governor's office, and we have all bought off on them. Mr. O'Connell indicated that the Employment Division was particularly involved in amendments. And now I am looking at the draft engrossment. I work more easily from that than I do the bill. I'll do it however your committee prefers. But in the draft engrossment, the first section is section ORS 657.265, and the amendments that are being made are found on the second page of the draft engrossment, the substantive one being at the bottom of the page, underlined section. We have had a number of difficulties in about just the last year in the in a technical problem on what is a quote-unquote decision. And even though we had operated for all the prior years, considering that the mere issuance of a check was not a quote decision, we found that through a challenge by our own referees and subsequently by the board, we are not able at the present time to go back and find that we made an overpayment, perhaps through a fraud investigation of cross match or for some other reason, because unless we take continuous jurisdiction. Continuous jurisdiction is set out in Section 290 of the law, and that we have held to a very few people in the agency. The administrator has designated only three people to take who are able to take continuous jurisdiction in the administrator's name. That is the deputy administrator, the assistant administrator for unemployment insurance, and the manager of the benefits payments. When you limit it that way, it is now we are in a position where if we need to find that we either did not pay correctly for some reason, or that we paid and it was an incorrect payment, and mostly this is happening in the cross match on fraud where somebody was working and they had been paid 4 or 5 months ago, we can't go back and do anything about it unless we take continuous jurisdiction. And then there are numerous cases, and it seems ridiculous to have to come up and have Ron Nairn or myself sign, or Ray Thorne sign those decisions. This would correct it, and this would bring it back to where we have operated for years. The board agrees that this is necessary, and in fact the referees have urged us to do this if it were possible. The change in 260 is on page 5 of the engrossed version, and here we are recommending that the assistant director be able to take continuous jurisdiction not only for errors of computation, clerical errors, and new facts, which present law allows, but when we, the agency, through any of our representatives in the field, have given misinformation to any of the parties to a claim, and those parties act upon that misinformation. And I can give you, if you need them, I can give you horror examples of where we have just absolutely made a mistake. And we have told somebody, no, you don't need to file your claim now, you'd be disqualified. They later come back in, perhaps they've worked for a while, they come back in a quarter later or 2 quarters later, and they don't even have a claim anymore. It was our fault. But there's nothing in the law that allows us to correct that. So we would like to be able to correct an error we have made which has affected a claim, or we would like to be able to correct when one of our employees misapplies the law. In other words, the agency would like to have the ability to take care of things that we've done wrong that we can't do now. Actually, we have a rule which gave us that authority and was okayed by legislative council, but the rule has been challenged as going beyond the law. And I think those are the two areas where the Employment Division is particularly interested in this bill, but we do concur with the rest of the bill, as Mr. Morgan indicated to you.
Question.
Yes, Representative Shipwright.
Ms. Russell,
you're probably not the correct person to ask this. Of those claims going to the Employment Appeals Board, how many are, let's say, reversed, percentage-wise? And I see Mr. Morgan.
Representative Shipwreck, are you asking what percentage?
Just roughly.
That are actually appealed to the board?
No, of those appealed to the board, how many are reversed at your level? We have the number of those appealed to your board. I'm just wondering approximately how many may be reversed at your level.
So they come to us both ways, and
I don't know.
In other words, some of them, a reversal means to pay, and sometimes a reversal means to not pay.
Exactly.
And I would say that about 20, I'm just guessing now.
Mm-hmm. That's all.
I'd say maybe 15 to 20% of them are reversed. Maybe that's high, possibly. It may be high.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Hanlon.
Can I follow up on that particular question? Of those decisions that you make, how many are appealed to the Court of Appeals, and how many of those are reversed?
Well, there's less than 1% of them go on to the Court of Appeals, but how many of them are reversed? I'm not sure that I can give you the percentage that are reversed by the Court of Appeals. It would be a small percentage of them. Maybe Tom knows.
Tom, can you help us out here a little bit?
Yes, the reversal rate in the Court of Appeals is right around 1%. It varies. One year it went up to 2.5, then back below 1%.
1% of those appealed from the board?
That's correct.
And again, the review standard in the Court of Appeals is substantial evidence.
Correct.
I've got another question, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Hanlon.
I'm looking at the existing statute, and it says that board members are paid on an amount equivalent to 4% of the gross salary of a regular judge of the circuit court for each day they're actually engaged in the performance of their official duties, including travel time. In order to qualify for that 4% payment for that day, is it necessary to work any minimum amount of hours?
Members of the board read every chance they get, which means nights, Sundays, and any other time. And we have arbitrarily set it, we haven't set it, it was set many years ago, that when you read 10 transcripts, you have the equivalent of a day's work. And my timing of it is, I'm not a fast enough reader to meet that. I can't do it, but that's all we ever charge for. And there's no point that you can, somebody's made the report that by the conditions of the law, you could work an hour and take a whole day if you wanted to, and that doesn't occur in the board.
Thank you. Okay. I think we're going to have to take our adjournment motion at this time.
Thank you very much,
because of our caucus schedule. Among our five members here, we do have a quorum of codes. We don't have any motions on 2350 or 2377. Just kidding.
Jeez.
No, I don't think we're ready for that.
Talk about power.
Go for it.
Yeah. Okay. If there's nothing else to come before us, everyone have a nice weekend. Thank you, folks, for your time, and we shall consider these and let you know when we're going to have another work scheduled meeting. Okay, we're adjourned. You join.